All right, let's turn tonight to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And when you get down to verse 18, 19, 20, on down through verse 24 and 25, this is the passage where Christ says, for instance, in verse 24, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through the through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard of it, said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Which leads to the relatively famous exchange between the Lord and Simon Peter, because Simon Peter pipes up and says in verse 28, "Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." Let's bow our heads there and pray. Father, we come to a pretty common passage, especially in certain groups and all. I'm not sure if some folks here have had questions regarding the nature of this passage at times or not. Don't know how often it's been meditated on among our group here. We pray that you will minister the truth to us here tonight. May we receive encouragement for ourselves, Lord, as we go deeper and deeper day by day into these latter times, in these latter times when we know that so many will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We ask that you would open our eyes, help us to appreciate what we have. May we be able to see it tonight in a new light, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this passage, beginning particularly in verse 29, Christ saying, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting." That passage has been subjected to a stupendous amount of exploitation, some really bad misrepresentation, and some really rotten Bible exposition. And I am convinced that in this passage there is a greater promise to you and me than most of us know or appreciate. And here's what I mean by that. What caught my eye, I was reading through here just a week or so ago, and what caught my eye was the phrase in verse 30, "manifold more." And I suppose maybe, if I'm spiritual, it's the Holy Spirit that caught my eye. Otherwise, it could just well be that it's kind of an unusual and kind of a, I don't know, clumsy enough phrase that maybe it caught my eye for that reason. But I got thinking about who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. I started thinking about that. And first of all, to start with, there's plenty that we plainly do understand. Verse 30, "Who shall not receive manifold more?" And of course, the sentence starts with, "There is no man that hath left house, parents, etc., etc., who shall not receive manifold more." So the promise is that he will receive more, that he will receive. Now, we understand that. It's gimme, gimme, right? Any American understands gimme, gimme. And it says he shall receive manifold more. Everybody understands more real well. I mean, I've watched, moms who, they got a kid that's a toddler, and they want to be careful about feeding him whole grapes and, peach pits and stuff. And so they cut it up, in little slices and handed to them one at a time. And the kid, a couple of my kids just stood and would just poke it into their mouth and just keep it coming like this. And finally their cheeks were coming out like chipmunks, and they're more, more. Everybody understands more. But notice it's not just more, it's manifold more. And like I said, that's maybe a clumsy enough construction in our day, English-wise. I doubt seriously that you've use that phrase very often, but manifold more. Well, what does manifold mean? Well, manifold means many. Manifold means numerous. Manifold means various. Various ways. Manifold means diverse. If something in metalwork or whatever is manifolded, then it is literally overfolded many times. It's very, very complicated, very, very intricate stuff. But it's manifold. Now, so what it's saying here is you can see there that somebody has left house, parents, brethren, wife, or children for the kingdom of God's sake, and he's going to get something back, right? And what he's going to get back is manifold more. So the payback is manifold. Now, ladies, manifold payback is not like Tupperware. It's not like when you have a cracked lid, you take your cracked lid back to Tupperware and they give you a lid to match the cracked lid. Gentlemen, I guess Craftsman still does it. If you have a half-inch driver or whatever and you bought it at Craftsman, you take that tool back, an open-end wrench or whatever, and they'll give you another wrench. They'll give you the equal of that wrench. But that's not what this is like. It's manifold. What you lose may not be exactingly replaced in the same category. It's like apples and oranges. You may have lost an apple, but what you might get back is an orange or a squash or a pumpkin. Okay? Now, in other words, the loss of a house, parents, brethren, wife, or children may not be replaced categorically. So what you have to be real careful of is after you've left something or lost something and God has paid you back because you missed what you lost, you better be careful because he might have paid you back in a manifold fashion and you don't recognize it. Are you thinking or just asleep? All right, so the payback is manifold, but it's not just manifold. It's manifold more. The payback is more. And we don't have to go over there, but in Mark chapter 10, verse 30, in the sister passage to this thing, it doesn't use the phrase manifold more. It says hundredfold. Now, I think manifold is a lot broader term, but hundredfold ought to lighten your eyes, because I'll guarantee you on any market in this world, stock market or anywhere else, you put in a buck and get back 100, that's good money. You put in 100 and get back 10 grand, that's good money. And you put in 10 grand and you put $1 million in your pocket. Now, folks, those odds are, that's real good payback. If manifold is not just hundredfold, but that's what it says in the other passage in Mark chapter 10, verse 30. All right, now, folks, the replacement then is at least if you have left house, parents, brethren, wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, in Mark, it's Christ's sake and the gospel's sake, then you get 100-fold back. And you know what the problem is? The problem is if you lost that or left that, you got 100-fold back. Your problem is the manifold part. It's not the more part. It's the manifold part. The reason you didn't get it, and the reason sometimes people still feel cheated, is because they didn't take into account the manifold part. Because it's not apples to apples. It's not oranges to oranges. It's not dollars to dollars. It's home to something else. It's parents to something else. It may be a wife to something else. It may be children to something else. But we're not quite done expositing yet, because in verse 30, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come. Now, you and me don't have any problem. As Christians today, we walk by faith and not by sight. We've had it drilled into our heads. We don't have any problem with receiving in the world to come, in the world to come. We don't have any problem with that. We understand that, but that's not what it said. At least that's not what all it said. It said you would receive manifold more in this present time. Okay, now how are you going to explain that? Well, I know the temptation amongst us here. Well, Brother Stephen, that's an apostolic dispensation. Now, I'm a dispensationalist. And there's a lot of questions in the Bible that have to be answered dispensationally. So if this is only to apply to the apostles in their dispensation and the generation immediately following them, name me one apostle that got back 100 houses for one, 100 parents for one, 100 wives for one, 100 children for one. As far as I know, every apostle that all 12 apostles, of course, Judas died anyway. But all, as far as I know, all the other 11 apostles all died a martyr's death. They didn't die with hundredfold houses and hundredfold brethren. In the generation following them, I mean, after 100 or so A.D., that was when the Roman persecution started. Man, for the next 330 or 40 years, Christians had a hard time. There weren't that many Christians that were really well off, brother. 100 houses, 100-fold houses, 100-fold parents, 100-fold brethren, 100-fold wives. How's that work? You say, well, Brother Stevens, that's a prophetic passage. It's not the apostolic dispensation. It's a future dispensation. It's prophetic. Well, how's that work? Prophetic, that would be not the church age then. That would be the tribulation. You know any tribulation doctrine? Where is it in the Great Tribulation that Christians leave their homes, their parents, their brethren, their children, and their wives, and they get 100-fold back? The Christians in the Great Tribulation wind up barely squeaking through, and that because the Lord Jesus Christ feeds them manna from heaven. In order to get that kind of return on houses anyway, those people would have to take the mark of the beast. So where are we then? I'll tell you where we are. Either this passage is nonsense, or it applies to every man in every dispensation. Are you asleep or thinking? Read it. It says, verse 29, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents. I mean, every man, right? There is no man. It's not an exception. A man's left house, parents, brethren, wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. I mean, if you try to dispensationalize it to the apostolic age, that doesn't work too well. If you try to make it prophetic to the future tribulation, that doesn't work too well. In this present time. It either applies to us in this present time, or it doesn't apply to anybody, period. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you what I believe. I believe that it applies to every Christian, in every age, and I believe that it applies to you as much as it applied to anybody standing there listening. Okay? Manifold more. The problem is not the more. The problem is the manifold. Because it's not apples to apples. It's not oranges to oranges. It's not parent to parent, and it's not house to house. It's you lose the house, you leave the parents, you leave the brethren. Maybe it'll cost you your wife, maybe it'll cost you your children, maybe it'll cost you your husband. And you don't necessarily get children back, and you don't necessarily get a husband back, and you don't necessarily get a house back. What you get back is something manifold. It's various. It's diverse. Okay, so that leads to a question. Amen? The question is, manifold more what? Okay? Well, you know, there are a few verses that came to mind for me when I started thinking about this. You remember that verse where it says, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which a man possesseth. Okay, it doesn't consist of what you possess, right? So what does it consist of? In Luke chapter 16, he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What are the true riches? I read in Ephesians 2 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. All right. You're going to receive, no man is an exception, you're going to receive manifold more in this present time. More what? Now, you know what? When I start telling you what these things are, some of you are going to have to suppress a big old spiritual yawn. Because you're going to go, yeah. You see, that's the problem. That is exactly the problem. Look at it this way. Think about it. If you give up something or lose something for Christ's sake, for the kingdom of God's sake, for the gospel's sake, the Lord God promised you, did He not, that you're going to get manifold more back? Did He or didn't He? Okay, yes, He did. Okay, if that's the case, then there's a few things. First of all, does God appreciate your sacrifice? Is God just? Is God chintzy? Is He cheap? I mean, if your parents disowned you because you got saved and got right and started living a Christian life, does He pay you back a hundredfold weight in barley husk, tinsel, and confetti for losing your parents? Well, that I sure hope not, brother. Right? And if that's the case, then, if the answer is no, then the answer is that God did recompense you manifold more. You just don't know what. And part of the reason that you don't know what and that you don't know why is because it's not God's value system that's screwed up. It's your value system. So I want to answer for you real quick, and there's several things here. We're going to run some Bible verses here real quick for just a little while, and then I got some other things to say. But this is the main work of the Bible study here tonight. I want to show you real quick what some of the more is. I'm not even pretending that I have them all. We've touched on them off and on. But look in, for instance, look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Just run a few verses with me, and then we'll get back to the main passage, because I got some other things to point out to you once we get this settled. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Now, that man is going to receive manifold more in this present time and in the life to come, life everlasting. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, I just commented on this passage on Wednesday night. I know that, okay? And I know that right now, when I start going through a few of these things, there are going to be no words that are new to you. There are going to be no ideals that are new to you. It's just the fact that I don't think some of us had ever linked it together quite this way, that the manifold more, at least a hundredfold more, that you get back for what you gave up, that you get recompense for what left you when you receive Christ your Savior and start living right. One of those things is wisdom. And all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it. This is not just some cheap dime and, you know, five and dime item. Some rummage sale item that the Lord hands you because you gave something up. One time, I'll never forget, I had an aunt. She was kind of a crazy aunt. And she was famous for giving all of us kids $1.50. You know, and finally she took into account inflation and started giving us $3, you know, for our birthdays and stuff. I'll never forget, in the seventh grade, I broke my leg in football, and I just got home from the hospital and had the old cast, you know, up there and kind of hurting and stuff. And my aunt comes in the house, and she walks over, and she was one of these bloodhound face aunts who, you know, I mean, the face was always. So she came in, you know, with "Oh, it's so good." She sat and patted my hand. I'm a seventh grade boy, you know, like, turn loose in my hand, you know. In a minute, she had a 50-cent piece in her hand, and she put the 50-cent piece in my hand and closed my hand over it, and that was supposed to recompense me for breaking my leg. Well, folks, the wisdom of God that you got access to when you got saved and got right, and then maybe you had to give up something, is not something that God got off a rummage sale table, a for free table, and passes it on to you. That's not what it is. I want to show you something else. Look in Psalm 19 while we're nearby. Not that a for free table is a bad thing, Ellen, not at all. Psalm 19:10, I'll give you another quick thing. We just sang this the other night, so you know what this is. In verse 9, to get a context, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, righteous altogether. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Those judgments, those statutes, those commandments, they're more to be desired than gold and much fine gold. The Word of God is no five and dime item. Look in Jeremiah chapter 9 real quick. And while you're turning, just go ahead and turn over to 2 Peter. Jeremiah chapter 9. More what? Well, some of these things. I don't know if this is all of them by any stretch of the imagination. You probably come up with some yourself. But in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, Jeremiah 9:24. But let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He said, let him delight in that he understandeth and knoweth me. You know what you got when you got saved? You got a relationship. And if that relationship doesn't mean any more to you than a relationship that you lost, humanly speaking, then you don't understand the relationship that you established through Jesus Christ. Look in 2 Peter real quick, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, there the promises relate to the Word of God, but that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. It's not just a relationship. You get to, by the Word of God on a practical basis, be a partaker in the divine nature. See, it's a relationship, folks. And it's not just that, because go back to verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, one of the paybacks, one of the hundredfold plus and the manifold more paybacks that you got, even if it cost you your parents, your husband, your wife, your kid, one of the manifold paybacks is not just wisdom. It's not just the Word of God. It's not just a relationship with God, even though all those things deserve a sermon on their own. It's also the divine power. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's power. Further, through the knowledge of Him that had called us to glory. You're called to what? You're called to glory. You're not called to menialness. You're not just called to servitude. You're not called to bondage. You're called to glory. It's power and glory. It's the Word of God. It's wisdom. It's a relationship. It's power and glory. Look in Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Ephesians 1. I'm not going to beat you to death with 6,000 verses, but only 5,040. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's praying in verse 18. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Why? Because our eyes aren't enlightened. Why? Because we're thick, we're dense. We've got scales on our eyes, got wax in our ears. And we need help understanding stuff, right? We need to put effort to understanding it. So he's praying about it. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. It's not that you may know the inheritance, but that you may know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. You see that? its glory. Go on down to verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. I missed verse 19, which I wanted to read you. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Power and glory. See, folks, I know it's, you got to be careful or it's just words. You got to be careful, it's just something the preacher is excited about, or at least is pretending that he's excited about, and at the right instant you say, amen. But it's more than that. It's more than that, because it has to be more than that. That's what your payback is. If you've lost something, if you've given up something, if you've left something, if it went away, and if it was your house, and if it was your parents, and if it was your kids, and then it was your wife, it was your husband, you got to recognize this manifold thing for what it is. Everybody knows what more is. Everybody can go, whoa, hundredfold. But do you understand the manifold part? The manifold part. You're not going to get paid back apples to apples. You're not going to get paid back house to house, dollar for dollar, car for car, wife for wife, kid for kid, parent for parent. That's not how it happens. It's manifold. You get something else in its place. But it's much more valuable. While we're in Ephesians 2 nearby, I'm just going to chase down a couple more, all right? Look in verse 7, 2-7. 2-7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, I know there's a lot of prepositions in there, but that He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. What's rich? What are you rich in? You're rich in grace through Jesus Christ. You're rich in grace. You know what grace is? Grace is favor extended to you that you don't deserve. Mercy is you not getting what you do deserve. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. And you have grace. You not only have manifold mercies, but you have graces right and left that you just haven't properly valuated. I'll give you another sample here of that. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, over and over in Ephesians, just about the whole theme of Ephesians was Paul praying and hoping that you would get a hold of just how exceedingly rich you are. And he wouldn't be saying that stuff if it wasn't hard to get your heart and mind around. I was just hoping that we could go a little ways toward getting our hearts and mind around a little bit here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we were in this passage this morning. The basic tenet of the passage, theme of the passage revolves around giving. It revolves around ministering materially. But look in verse 13. He's complimenting them on their ministration to the saints. And let's pick up in verse 13. Whiles, by the experiment of this ministration, what they sent, what they supplied, what they gave, they glorify God for your professed subjection to the gospel of Christ. For your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. That's clear enough, right? You sent, you met needs. It was good. It was really good. Verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. He's saying, those people that you sent, I mean, they long after you. It's like they're envious is not the right word, but they're envious of you because of the grace of God that is in you. It's somebody looking at you and seeing how much grace you got. Now, folks, that's part of how you got paid back. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercies hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know what else it is? It's not just the wisdom. It's not just the Word of God. It's not just a relationship. It's not just power and glory. It's not just grace. And it's not just hope. It's your thoughts. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Now, here's what I'm getting at, folks. That passage, you can go back to Luke now. You can go back to Luke 18. Now, I'm not going to be much longer, but I wanted you to see that he said that no man that hath left house, parents, brethren, wife, or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in his present, in this present time. Have you received manifold more or have you not? And it would be a mistake to say, I have not. Because actually you have. You just don't appreciate it. Because the problem is not the more part. If you had been given 100 houses in the place of the house you lost, you would understand that. But what you received was manifold more. What you received back in exchange was different than houses. And it was valued different than houses. All right, in verse 29 and 30, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time? Okay, I talked about more what? I want to talk about the value for just a second. The value. Maybe you got a hold of this already. Let me talk about the value. Well, in verse 29, you have left your house or you've lost your house for whatever reason, for the kingdom of God's sake, for the gospel's sake, for Christ's sake, whatever. Well, you know what, folks? Value-wise, your house is likely, for most of us here, maybe not all of us, but for most of us here, is the single most valuable thing that you may ever invest in your lifetime. Right? I mean, your house. There was a day I remember, used to, you know, somebody owns a $75,000 house, and we go, whoa, he's living high on the hog. Well, a $75,000 house now is a dump, an absolute dump. It, folks, it is nothing whatsoever. It's not outrageous whatsoever for somebody, you know, it's not even upper middle class for somebody now to own a quarter million dollar house. A house valued at $250,000. That sounds outrageously high, but it's just true. It's valued like that. Well, you move from a house, though, and you start talking about parents. You start talking about siblings, and you start talking about brethren and a wife or a husband or your children, and it's even abominable to think about valuing them. My house is worth $250,000. My husband's worth $75,000. And one kid's worth $50. You know? I mean, it's, you know, we joke, but, you know, it'd be an abominable thing to even think about laying a dollar value on that. And yet it says, for those losses, yet you will receive manifold more. And Mark, it specifies hundredfold. Okay. In this present time, manifold more. At least hundredfold, but manifold in that it's not going to be paid back in houses and it's not going to be paid back in parents. So here you have this house and your house is worth $250,000. You had 2 zeros on that thing and you have $25 million in return. If you lost your house for Jesus Christ's sake and your house is worth $250,000, what you have in return is something worth at least $25 million. Only it's manifold. It's not apples to apples. It's not dollars and it's not material. It's something else. And because we don't deal that often and we don't dicker in that kind of currency, the value of it, you know, it's like a kid playing with a slingshot and he's shooting diamonds at a tin can. Just a rock, if he didn't know it was a diamond, right? Parents, brethren, wife and kids, how do you evaluate hundredfold more? How do you evaluate manifold more than if you lost your parents for Christ's sake? If you lost your brethren for Christ's sake? You know what we sing? We sing this treasure we have in temples of clay. While here in this footstool I roam. Let me have you turn over to 2 Corinthians 4 just a second. 2 Corinthians 4. I'm talking about the value of this thing. I'm talking about the value. Look in 2 Corinthians 4 and think about this with me for just a second. Now, we're familiar with these words, real familiar. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake, right? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay, this treasure is in earthen vessels. Verse 6, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. There's the glory. There's the knowledge and wisdom of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? That the excellency of the power, remember that power a little while ago? We were talking about glory and power. Remember that? That the power may be of God and not of us. And then it goes on. Now think about this. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Well, what kind of nutcase statement is that? We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. I talked to somebody just the other day. Everything's happening all at once. I'm so stressed out. Yeah, you were distressed. You were troubled, and at least in your valued opinion, on every side, and you were distressed. What kind of nutcase statement is it to say that we are troubled on every side but not distressed? We are perplexed but not in despair. Get dumped out in the middle of the ocean. Sharks are all around and you go, Perplexed but not in despair. Me, I'm... Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You see what I'm saying? You know, we talked about this morning. With food and raiment, therewith let us be content. What kind of nutcase statement is that? Who could conceivably be genuinely content with food and raiment? Unless you knew that that's all you had because you lost everything else for Jesus Christ's sake, for the gospel's sake, for the kingdom of God's sake, and you had already been recompensed manifold more, 100-fold more, and you knew what you'd been recompensed, and what you'd been recompensed so far outweighed what you lost, that the food and raiment was more than sufficient. Oh, brother, it's high ground, I know, but that's what he's talking about. I'm talking about the valuation. You know what you are? You are sitting on something. You are sitting on a treasure trove more valuable than you have sense to know. In the Word of God, in the wisdom of God, in the power and glory of God, in the relationship that you have with God, in the thoughts that you get to have and the knowledge that you get to have, you are sitting on a treasure trove that you haven't conceived yet. And I include myself in that. All right, I talked about more what? I talked about the value. Notice again back in Luke 18. I've got to take you back there again. Luke 18. Notice not just the value, but notice the duration. Duration. For instance, no man has left house, parents, brethren, wife, or children. The duration. If you live in a house that was 1900, built in 1900, you live in a really old house. I mean, folks, I mean, if a house is 100 years old, 120 years old, 140 years old, I mean, you know, it's probably already a museum. I mean, it's an old house, and that's just one, you know, little fraction of history, right? That just there, even a house is not very long-lasting by eternal standards, right? You talk about duration. I mean, some people get to keep their parents around till they're 70 or 80 years old. My mom died at 48 years old. My dad died at 53 years old. You know, Renee said this morning she has a grandmother that's 96 years old, so Renee's mom has a mother that's 96 years old. That's the other end of things, right? That's the rather extreme end of things. Well, you know, brethren, wife, children, people lose their wives or their husbands all the time. People lose their children all the time. People lose younger or older brothers or sisters all the time. And depending on, you know, what kind of relationship they had, depending on how many things happen at once, sometimes the losses of those people are enough to break somebody's will, sometimes enough to break a man completely down. He's, you know, basically just lays down and gives up in life. Right? Because in the end, even houses, but parents and brothers and wives and husbands and children, they're all going to die. They're just not that durable. But you know what? What you get in return is quite durable. You know, the Bible says, we talked about the Word of God. You know what it says? It says all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is a flower of grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. The Word of God's not going anywhere. You know? The Bible says in Psalm 111, verse 3, that the righteousness of the Lord endureth forever. If you have the righteousness of God, it's forever. The Bible says over 30 times that the mercies of the Lord endure forever. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it tells you that God has eternal power. Remember we talked about that power earlier? That power is eternal power. That power is not going anywhere. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. The Bible says that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Your power is durable. What He repaid you in, I mean, even if you lost your parents for Jesus Christ's sake, I don't mean to be insensitive in putting it quite like this, but hoping you understand, your parents would live 60, 70, 80 years. What He gave you in return, manifold more, what He gave you in return is going to last forever. I mean, forever. And you have it now. Wisdom, the Word of God, the power of God, the glory of God. The Bible says that His glory is eternal. It says that His wisdom is eternal. God found in this world on His wisdom. Right? Romans chapter 5, verse 21 says that His grace is eternal. Now, you know what? If you were the CEO of 3M or Medtronic or Microsoft, you know, there's not a one of those guys that deals in anything eternal whatsoever. None of them have an eternal product, an eternal component, an eternal anything except their own soul. And you as an individual have 8, 10, 12, 14 different categories of eternal things that you trade in, that you involve yours every single day. So when He says, you know, any man that's given up house, parents, wives, children, you know, will get manifold more in this present time, He meant it. He meant it. It's values beyond counting. Its duration is eternal. See what I'm saying? There's something else I want you to take notice of. In Luke chapter 18, verse 29, you have a house, you have parents, you have brethren, you have a wife or children. Okay, that's the problem. The problem is with house, parents, brethren, wife, and children is that you can touch them, you can see them, and you can feel them. And when you lose them, you miss them because they're not there. And you can't see them, and you can't touch them, and you can't feel them anymore. Right? The problem is that the Lord doesn't pay you back in stuff that you can see, and that you can touch, and that you can feel. Okay? So, you know, I talked about the value, I talked about the duration. Let me talk for just a second about the substance of it. That's the problem. Is the things that He said you were going to lose or give up are substantive. You touch them. They're temporal. They're tactile. You touch them and feel them and see them. And what He repays you in is manifold more. Your problem is that you don't see them. I talked about the substance of it, right? There's an interesting verse that came to mind when I thought about that. What I thought about is Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this does not work for Buddha faith. It doesn't work for Muslim faith. It doesn't work for Catholic faith. The only place it works is for Bible faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What God said is true. And so when you hear the Word of God, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, what He tells you is true. And when you believe what He said, it's true. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The fact that you have the faith to believe what you believe, if it's out of the Bible, is substance and evidence that it's true. You know what the world would call that? Backwards reasoning. They would call it circular reasoning. We think it's true because the Bible says it's true. That's circular reasoning. Just because Buddha said something was true doesn't mean it's true. In fact, it means it's false. Just because Muhammad said something was true doesn't mean it's true. It means it's false. But because God said it's true, it is true. And the fact that you can believe, the fact that you have faith to believe that a guy hung on a cross and died, and that he went to the grave and rose again, and that somehow in that process and shedding his blood for you, that somehow he bore your sins in his own body, he rose again, went back to heaven, he's coming back to get you again. The fact that you can believe that is proof that it's true. That's what Hebrews 11:1 says, if you take it and break it down. All right? Now, you know what, folks? The problem is that the reason you understand the more part, but what we miss on is the manifold part, because we don't get paid back in what got taken away or what left. But what we got paid back is manifold more. It's at least 100-fold more in this life. Right now. You have it right now. All right, there's something else I wanted you to see. And this is the last thing. I wanted you to think for just a second about the four types. Just four type. By four type, I mean in Luke chapter 18, verse 29, you have certain categories of things. House, parents, brethren, wife, children. Now tell me this. In Luke 18, 29, it says, I say unto you, Christ speaking, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake. Now, let me ask you this. Is it or is it not Christ's expectation if the possibility that the necessity is going to arise where you would have to leave house, parents, brethren, wife, or children, or that you would lose at least house, parents, brethren, wife, and children? Is it or is it not His expectation that that's going to be the case in many cases? It is the case. I mean, I don't know how you can read it any other way. Okay, if all those things are true, then one of the things you have to acknowledge, and this is about what's waiting for us in heaven, right? I mean, you have to recognize that all those things there are prefigures and foretypes of what we really get. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that all the things we have down here are just kind of poor shadows of what we really have in heaven. I mean, when it talked about the tabernacle, it said it was the pattern down here of things that were true up there, right? So down here, the Lord gives us a house. And sometimes it's a shabby house, and sometimes it's not so shabby a house. But whatever the case, it doesn't compare to the mansion that you've got. I mean, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you or don't you have a mansion in heaven? Well, yes, you do. That's the real thing. This thing down here, you know, the termites are going to eat one day, or the Antichrist is going to knock over. Right? All right, but it's not just that. It's not just a house, because it mentions parents. Okay, it doesn't take a real theological genius to figure this out. You've got a God in heaven, which is your Father. And the Father that you have down here may be a relative success, and He may be a relative failure. But He is a foretype of your Father in heaven. If you're fortunate, you'll learn some things about your Father in heaven from your Father down here. And if you're a father down here, you'll learn some things about your kids down here, and you'll get to see a little bit from God's eye view about how things go. But I mean, it's all foretype stuff. I mean, you have a father in heaven. You have a mother in heaven. And I'm not talking about Mary either. Bible says that New Jerusalem, that the Jerusalem which is above is the mother of us all. Okay? There's the family of God in heaven. There's a household of God in heaven. There's children in it. Jesus Christ is going to be a bridegroom. All those things. You understand that, right? Okay. I knew you understood that. Well, everything down here is all those things. House, wife, parents, kids, husbands. Those are all noble things and sanctified things. But in a relative sense, and I'm not giving anybody excuses, but they are dispensable in some regard. If you agree with me that Jesus Christ acknowledged not just the possibility, but the likelihood that some Christian you know somewhere, if not you yourself, will lose one part or all those things due to Jesus Christ. Right? So, all those things down here are noble. Marriage is sanctified. Husbands and wives and children, it's all sanct and noble. But at a certain point, at a certain level, they are also dispensable. Okay? That means that they are incomparable to what is in heaven. Right? And here's all I wanted you to see in all that. All I wanted you to see was, if the thing here merely is a foretype and a foreshadow of what you're going to get one day when you finally get up there. But consider that what He gave you for down here. Now remember what the verse said. It said that He would pay you back manifold more, not just in the world to come, in heaven, the next, over there, but that you would receive manifold more in this present time. The foretype is here. You're going to go to heaven and meet the rest of it up there. It's going to be the real thing. It's going to knock your eyes out. Eyes have not seen, neither have you heard. Right? Right? But what He paid you back with, the recompense for what you lost down here, you're paid back for. And what you got paid back for down here is at least 100-fold what you lost. It's manifold more. And part of the manifold more is at least 100-fold more. Okay? If you have a hard time perceiving that what you have down here is manifold more, at least 100-fold more, do you have any idea what the glory up there will be? You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? So either you believe it or don't. That He's recompensed you at this present time, manifold more, at least 100-fold more. Or He didn't. Like I said, the problem is not with the Lord. The problem is your valuator. The problem is your appreciation. The problem is you and me getting a hold of what He gave us. Because I don't think that you can deny what's said there. This is not intended to be a rebuke. This is intended to be an encouragement. When you lose, and you lose a lot, when it goes away, when you try to save it, and it won't come back, you don't have to worry. Because what you got here is manifold more. It's at least 100-fold more. You're just not used to dealing in currency like that. You lost a house, you want your house back. If you lost your parents, you want somebody to replace them. If you lost a wife, or you lost a husband, or you lost a kid, for Christ's sake, you want them back. You want dollar for dollar, you want apple for apple. And it doesn't happen that way. See what I'm saying? Let's bow our heads and pray. Let's stand. Now, Father, pray that You'll impress our hearts and minds with these things. And pray the Holy Spirit to do the work that man to be able to step out of the way and not have any part or concern in the rest of this, that you would point out the object lessons that need to be pointed out to each and every soul here, that you'd help us to count our blessings. And Father, all those cliches that we allow to roll off our lips at times about the grace of God and the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God and glory and power and all those things, Father, we pray that they might mean something more to us than they have maybe before. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 414. Just a minute. If you need time, come down here to the altar. This is time to come. If you want to do that, kneel where you are, that'd be fine. I just know the way we think, it's because I think that way. And a lot of times, you know, see things happen in life. And a lot of times what I see is somebody that got hit in the neck or hit in the back a lot harder than I've gotten hit. And you sit and shake your head and you wonder what God's doing. And folks, everybody here would say amen if you said, well, you know, God knows best, and God is holy, and God doesn't do wrong, and all those things, right? But it still rings kind of empty if you don't understand that whatever leaves or is lost, or whatever is given up, is more than replaced 100 times over, at least, but manifold more. It's just not replaced apple for apple, nail for nail, dollar for dollar. The Lord deals in a different currency in what He pays you back on. One of my kids, I forget which one it was, you know, one time decided he would trade his brother, you know, one coin for 2 coins. He thought it was a good deal. Well, he wound up giving the brother a quarter and got back a nickel and a dime. You understand, he's down 10 cents. It's because he didn't understand the currency. He didn't understand value. I'll tell you what, you don't understand. You don't understand value. We yell and scream about the Word of God, but you don't understand how much God values it. We talk about the wisdom of God and understanding. We talk about glory and power. We talk about grace. And what you don't know is that God gave you 100-fold more, at least, manifold more. But you don't appreciate it as much because it's not the currency you're used to dealing with. All you know is that you lost your house. You lost your friend. Your mom and dad don't want you at the family reunion anymore. That's all you see. You don't understand the currency. The problem is not more. The problem is manifold more. That's what you have problem with. Father, pray You'll bless the remainder of the invitation here tonight, our fellowship afterwards. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Third stanza.
Honor, hear Thy voice, Lord, be praised. Christ, Thy
remember, ladies, go through the clothes back there on the back table. Ellen's going to take them home tonight. That's all we have. Good night.